I'll be reading out of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Please bear with me on these words. I'm from Burning County, so that might not come out too good. This chapter covers disobedience. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for the wickedness has come before me." But Jonah arose and fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, went down to it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord.
Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good to see each and every one of you. We've been trying to pick a book of the month, and I didn't want to do about five lessons on Obadiah, so I could have, but probably would have stretched me a little thin with Obadiah only being one chapter there. But Obadiah, we looked at last week, but we'll try to focus the rest of the month on Jonah. But Obadiah, we looked at the Edomites, and we looked at how prideful they were. And really, we see that Obadiah tells the Edomites that their pride will lead to a fall. Their pride has led them to mistreating their fellow man, and really, their pride has really led them away from God. So now, as we turn our attention to Jonah, we're probably familiar with what is archived for us in the book, and I do think these are true events, and certainly, that's the way I kind of read into the Bible with all these things, unless it kind of has the traits of a parable or something like that. But I do believe Jonah was a prophet of God, and these are the real events that are recorded for us. Jonah's name means dove. Certainly a dove would have been used for many purposes back in this time. A dove could be used as a messenger. You know, they don't have cell phones like we did. But doves could carry messages, and also doves were symbols of peace. And we see that Jonah is going to be given an assignment here in chapter 1, is that he is going to go and preach to Nineveh, which would have been the capital of the Assyrians, and the Assyrians were known for their brutality, to be quite frank. Some of the things that are recorded in the history of the Assyrians are quite brutal in nature. They were very brutal in their attacks, they were very brutal in their tactics, they were very brutal with the people that they captured. The Assyrians were a very brutal people. And they were brutal against the Israelites. And I think Jonah knew this. And it probably would have been a very hard pill for Jonah to swallow to, why don't you go and offer forgiveness and repentance to your enemy? An enemy that has attacked Israel on multiple occasions has certainly given them a hard time. I think that Jonah, predicting down in the future, I think Jonah kind of knows what might happen down the road, although we don't know that for certain. But a lot of times we give Jonah a very hard rap. And I'm not saying that Jonah is not disobedient. He is. But it's perhaps easier to fall into the Jonah trap than we might care to admit. Putting our own interests before the missions of the Lord. And I do think about that when it comes to Jonah. You know, if we try to get into Jonah's shoes, if we were asked to go preach a message of repentance and forgiveness to your enemy, your arch enemy, someone that has said things about you, and in this sense, people that have done physical things against you, perhaps we can see a little bit more for where Jonah is coming from. You know, it's almost like if somebody asked me, of course, ISIS, we don't hear that anymore, but perhaps there was a time where we remember ISIS was mentioned all the time. We heard about the beheadings and all these things that were happening. You know, if God said, "Kyle, go to ISIS and preach," you know, I might have some hesitation. Jonah, we see, has some hesitation. You know, certainly when it comes to the gospel certainly is for all. We should not hold it back from anyone. We should not hold back repentance. We should not hold back forgiveness. We should certainly make sure that that opportunity is there. But when I do think of Jonah, I do think perhaps, and maybe other people don't view it this way, but I think of Jonah perhaps as a patriot. He loved his people. He loved Israel. And he sees this nation that is clearly threatened and has hurt the nation that he's a part of. And perhaps his patriotism gets in the way of the mission of the Lord. And you know, I do think about that from time to time, is that perhaps we let things get in the way of the mission of the Lord that did not. I'm not saying that obeying the laws of the land and having some form of patriotism is a bad thing, but I can tell you this, if our patriotism gets in the way of the gospel, that's a problem. And I fear that sometimes that can happen even within the Lord's church. Would you fulfill God's mission? Would you take it to anyone? Or would you let certain factors get in the way? Well, I wouldn't take the gospel to someone of a different country. I wouldn't take the gospel to somebody of a different political party. I wouldn't take the gospel to, we could just number out 100 different factors that the world says these things matter. And you know what? It seems like God's saying, Jonah, go. Go to the people that are your enemies. Go to the people that have hurt your people. Go to the people. That is the message that's coming from God. And I do think about that. Jonah runs. Jonah is disobedient. I'm not justifying those things. But certainly, if there is anything that gets in our way of the mission of God, certainly I think we could fall into the same predicament that Jonah falls into. You know, Jonah, in a strange way, everything that I think about, every time I think about Jonah, I actually think about my father. Because my father, of course, my father had free will, but he attributes him becoming an elder from a lesson that was preached from Jonah. And whether you want to take that, take it for what it's worth, my dad attributes him being an elder in many respects to having a lesson preached on Jonah. It was preached by one of my friends, and it wasn't an elder's lesson per se, but it was preached in such a way, are you running away from the missions of God? Are you running away from things that you should be doing? Are you holding back things from God that should be His? And that touched my dad in a deep way, and to this day, he says, that lesson touched me. And it made me think about my life and the service to the Lord. And that's what I want to think about this evening, is you and your service to the Lord. If something is holding Jonah back from serving the Lord in the way that he should, perhaps you might say he's running from the mission of God. And certainly there are many missions that I think God puts in our lives that we can read about through the Word. And I wonder if sometimes things get in the way of us doing what we should be doing. And do we fall into the situation of Jonah where we are actually running away? Let's look at the first few verses here, particularly 1 and 2. We're going to see the mission. We see the word of the Lord comes to Jonah. In verse 2 it says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship to go to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The mission has been given. Go to Nineveh, go to your enemy, and really give the gospel, give a message of repentance. Of course, I understand it's the Old Testament, but certainly a message of repentance and forgiveness would be a very good message and very good news indeed for these people. But Jonah, go deliver the message. Does Jonah want to deliver this message? Does he want to take up this responsibility? Does he want to take up this obligation? We see no, and we see that he runs. You know, a lot of the missions that God gives us many times are simple, but it doesn't mean that they're easy. And I think that what God is asking Jonah to do is not easy. It is difficult, but it still should be done. And many things in our Christian life, just because they are difficult, does not mean they should be left undone. A messenger of the Lord. You know, this could very easily apply to us, and there's people that we should be talking to about the gospel, that we should be talking to about the gospel and Christ's way, but we will not. Why would you not? God is telling Jonah to go to their worst enemy. Who would we hold the gospel back from? I think of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. Says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, who belongs to dominion and glory forever and ever. Amen. We are vessels of the Lord. When we speak, we should be speaking the words of God. When we serve, we should be serving with the abilities which God has given. God has given us all these things. Do we hold back from the missions of God? Perhaps we're not so uncommon. Perhaps we're not that much different from Jonah. is when we're given a hard mission, when we're given a hard assignment, when we're given something hard by the Lord, we say it is easier to run away than to do what God has asked us to do. You know, I don't think Jonah is really uncommon. Now, we really highlight Jonah many times, but you know, I start looking through the scriptures, I find a whole bunch of reluctant leaders, a whole bunch of reluctant servants of the Lord. I think of Moses. Moses, go get my people out of Egypt. Moses goes, whoa, 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 I've got some excuses for you real quick. Before I go, you know, can you find somebody else? No, they're really going to listen to me anyway. I mean, Moses, he's ready. He's got his excuses ready for why he can't fulfill the mission of the Lord. I think of Gideon. I think of Ananias. Ananias is like, you really want me to go talk to that guy, God? Are you sure? Have you heard about this guy, God? Are you sure? Do we hold back from the missions of the Lord because they're difficult, because they're challenging? Before we jump on Jonah too much, perhaps we need to look at ourselves. Have we ever ran to the boat before we ran to the mission? You know, I thought about that. Do we run to the mission or do we run to the boat? I can tell you this, Satan will always have the boat ready. The boat is going to be there. It's going to be have all, everything it needs. It's going to be packaged up. It's just going to be sitting there ready for you to say, you know what, I'd rather run than fulfill the mission of the Lord. There are many missions that certainly God would call us to fulfill. Certainly, I think of evangelism, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. It says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Certainly, I don't believe that that is our only mission as Christians. I think that that is one of the main ones, and I think that if we really look at it, so many of the things we do as Christians is trying to get to that point of evangelism. When we are being benevolent, when we are giving aid, when we are trying to be kind to the world, we're really trying to direct them to Christ. We're trying to direct them to the gospel. When we conduct ourselves in a good manner, when we try to be the sacrifice that God asked us to be, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, we're really trying to point to God. We're trying to point to Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and holy and acceptable will of God. We are to be a living sacrifice, and part of that living sacrifice is fulfilling the missions of the Lord, even when they are challenging, and not running for the boat. I fear that many times people will run to the boat before they will run to the missions of God. When's the last time that you ran for the boat instead of the mission of God? You know, I don't know if we can say what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, if every time something comes up for the church, we turn it down. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will I go? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. See, a lot of people like to think that they're that servant, but if all these opportunities of serving God and serving the mission of God come up, and every time we say no, can we really say we're that ideal servant of the Lord? When there's an opportunity to send a card, and we say no. When there's an opportunity to do a meal, and we say no. When there's an opportunity to make a phone call, and we say no. When there's an opportunity to prep communion, and we say no. When there's an opportunity to visit the sick, and we say no. To visit the widows, and we say no. Can we really say we're the servants of the Lord if every time a mission of the Lord comes up and we say no? Do we say, here am I, send me? Or do we say, where's the boat? Where's the boat? And I fear that many times we run for the boat instead of to the missions of our Lord. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, for do I not persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Who are you really serving? Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, he says, hey, I'm not really trying to persuade men anymore. I'm trying to be on God's side. For now do I persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. If you want to be a bondservant of Christ, you're going to have to say yes to some of the hard missions of the Lord. You're going to have to say some things that are inconvenient for you, some things that will be a sacrifice for you, some things that will be a challenge for you. Because don't miss it, Jonah is saying no to a hard mission. and he was wrong for that. Jonah says no to a hard mission, and he was wrong for that. I think of Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do the things that I said? Multiple opportunities to come up to serve the Lord, to fulfill missions of the Lord, and somehow we find ourselves looking for the boat. We see that Jonah is given a hard mission, and then we see Jonah is on the run. And we see that in verses 3 and following. I'm going to read the verse 9 to see what Jonah gets himself into. So he's going to Tarshish, which is really probably the farthest place on the known world. I don't know that for certain, but it's certainly, I think we think it's from Spain. It seems like this is about as far away from Nineveh as he can get. He says, let me get a boat and let me get as far away from this mission as I possibly can. Verse 4, it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, had laid down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose the cause of this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and lots fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Certainly we see that Jonah is on the run, and he doesn't necessarily get too far before we start to see God's redirection, and really God's, I believe, discipline in any way. But I think that's something to think about. Are you running from the missions of God? Are you running away from some hard missions that certainly you could fulfill with your talents and your abilities? Like I said, Satan is always going to have the ship ready. The question is, are you going to say no to that ship? And a lot of times I think people think that this is just a one and done deal. You know, you just got to say no to that ship one time. No, you got to say no to that ship again and again and again and again, because that ship is sitting there in the harbor, and Satan wants it sitting in the harbor. He wants it ready, so that as soon as you say no, you're ready to go. You say no to the missions of the Lord. You say no to God-given responsibilities. Have you ever said no to that boat at Tarshish and said, I'm not going to take the easy way out today. I'm going to do what the Lord has asked. I will run. I will take a stand. I will do what the Lord has asked me to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, finishing up the resurrection section there, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Are you trying to hide from the Lord? Are you running from God? It's a foolish task. We see it doesn't take too long until, well, really, God knows where he's at the whole time, but we see that he gets on that boat, he goes to the bottom, he falls asleep. I think Jonah might think, I outran God. God is not here. I'm okay. But God is there. I think many people fall into the same situation where they have turned down the mission of God, they have tried to run, they tried to bury their head in the bottom of the boat, and they say, I have done no wrong, I have not done anything wrong, and yet God knows. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 it says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to his eyes, to whom we must give an account. I don't know about you, but that's always been an intimidating thing for me. We are talking about judging this morning. Look at yourself, see clearly, then go to work and try to help someone else. You know what the perfect judge can do is the perfect judge can see clearly. And on this life, I understand that we're going to have to work very hard for us to see clearly. But when it comes to God, God sees clearly 24/7. You talk about a good judge, it's God of heaven, who can see all things. All things are naked and open. He can see every single thing. And you know what? You're going to have to give that judge an account. You're not going to be able to pull any fast ones. You're not going to be able to hide, as Jonah thinks, maybe I can hide in the bottom of this boat. I've turned down the missions of the Lord. No one's going to notice. It's just me. God knows. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths." God certainly sees all things. One congregation I preached at through my early 20s, there's a song leader, and he just loved this song. I've got nothing against the song, but there's an all-seeing eye watching you. He would sing that every time he was song leading. I mean, every single time. And he loved that song. And in Bible class, he would reference that song all the time. He's very, he always participated in Bible class, a very good man. Still at that congregation and doing a lot of good work. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. And this all-seeing eye is not going to make mistakes. And this all-seeing eye doesn't miss anything. This all-seeing eye sees every single thing. And what I've always found intimidating about this is the all-seeing eye sees my talent. And that's something that I've always thought about. And certainly we all have our own internal dialogue, and we all have our own internal thoughts. So I was talking to Sarah about this the other day. I could probably convince myself 1,000 different ways to give up preaching. I probably could. And I'd be lying to you if I hadn't had that dialogue in my head probably 1,000 times. You know what keeps me preaching? Well, one is love. Number two is that God, I will have to give an account for. And I don't know if I can stand before God in good conscience and walk away. There are certain things people run from that they should not be running from. And you can convince yourself many times to get on the boat and run away. And I have done my best throughout my life not run. The devil calls awfully loud sometimes. The world calls awfully loud sometimes and says, "Take the boat." And I know I'm not alone in this. Because it's the Christian walk of life. If you live the Christian walk of life, you are going to be fighting the call to the boat, because you're always going to be trying to push your comfort zone. You're always going to be trying to develop yourself. You're always going to try to do the best you can for the church. You're always going to be trying to do the best you can for your fellow man, and it is going to push you to your brink. And you're going to hear people calling for the boat. But I tell you what, if I have to stand before God, I want to stand before God as the good and faithful servant. I want to stand before God and say, "God, I gave you everything I had. I gave you everything I had, and I know I have bad days, and I know that I make mistakes, and I know that I'm not perfect, but I am doing the best I can, and I will not take that boat departure." You know, God knows your talent. I do think about that. You know, the parable of the talents that we see in Matthew chapter 25, we see there in verses 14 and following, we see these talents given out. So many times we think of the person that gets one talent, and that is like a little. And when you look at the amount of the talent, people, you know, scholars disagree, but a talent could be up to 20 years of wages. So a lot of times they're like, this person gets four talents, this person gets one talent. They're not really getting that much. One talent could be up to 20 years of wages. Some people will speculate that this is between $1,000 and $30,000. This is not like some small, trivial amount. We say, oh, the one talent person. The one talent person's got about 20 years. You know how much God has given you? Perhaps God's given you more than 20 years. I don't know what God has given you, but God has given you something, and we are going to be accountable to God. And I think Jonah is falling into a trap where he says, I'm not going to take on a hard mission. And I don't know, Jonah might be a better preacher than myself. Because you know what happens when he shows up to Nineveh? All of Nineveh repent. I can tell you the last time I had an audience that all repented. Let me tell you, it hasn't happened. I don't know, Jonah might have had a talent that certainly I don't have. Maybe it was right time, right place. But God has to really work on Jonah to get him to do what God wants him to do. But a lot of times, we think that God has given us little. And you know what keeps me up at night is perhaps God has given me much. And I just can't see it. Even if God gave you one talent, that could be 20 years of wages. It could be $1,000 to $30,000 in today's terms. This one talent person is not like they don't have anything. God has given them something, and we are going to be accountable for what God has given. I think of Luke chapter 12 and verse 48. It says, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. How much has God given you? You understand that there will be an accounting for what God has given. What has God given you, if you don't mind me asking? I think many times we cut ourselves short. I would recommend that you don't cut yourself short, because whatever God has given, He will have an accounting for. I'm not saying that we all have the same talent. Certainly not. I think a lot of people have the exact opposite talent that I have. My weakness is their strength. My strength is their weakness. That's a great blessing of the church, that you can complement one another. I know that I have many weaknesses, but I will be accountable for the talents which God has given me. And if God has given me much, which I fear to say that God has given me little. Would you say that? Oh, God has given me little. I don't know if I would even have the confidence to say that to God. Oh, God, you gave me little. God, you gave me little. You gave me not very much. You gave me one talent. One talent is up to 20 years of wages. You know, I would rather err on the side, God, you have given me much, and I am going to do everything I can with what you have given. I do think of that day of accounting. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible talks about that idea. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. There will be an accounting. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 5, the Bible says this. It says, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, the Bible says, so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Are you ready to give an account? You cannot escape God. And somehow I think people fall into the trap that they think they can, just as Jonah thought. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 24, it says, can anyone hide himself in secret places? So I shall not see him, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord. You can try to hide from God, but it just simply will not work. Are you running from the missions of the Lord? Are you hiding your talents from the Lord? What are you running from that you should be running to? You know, I think that is a question that you have to sincerely ask yourself this evening. What is a mission, a responsibility, a duty of a Christian that I am running from instead of running to? What is the responsibility, obligation, or duty as a Christian that I am running from and not running to? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we could probably all find one thing. something that we have run from, that we should have been running to all our Christian lives. God has certainly given us missions, and we should not run from those. And some of those missions that God gives us are very hard. What I find interesting in chapter 1, as chapter 1 develops and these individuals start to question Jonah, Jonah eventually raises the hand and he says, you know what, I have basically run from God. If you run from God, will you not turn back and run with Him again? Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian tonight. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way we can. Don't run from God, run to God, and then run with God. And don't run ahead of God. I think we see all those messages in Jonah. If you're subject to invitation, we ask you please come as we stand as we sing.